This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour on a Thursday, which means we're getting close to Friday. See the end of the week coming up here pretty quickly. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Good stuff, our last hour from ESPN's Chris Mortensen. If you miss anything, you can go to our website, 973thefansd.com, radio.com app, and there's big things coming soon to the radio.com app. They let us know at the meeting I attended yesterday.
Yeah, you did. You passed out a couple times in, but it's fine.
Passed out, just fell asleep. There's difference. Just nodded my head a little bit.
Yes.
You do that like four times a day.
Closed your eyes and fell. Your head went back against the wall.
So here's what I do. I don't want to fall asleep during this show.
Right.
I don't want to fall asleep while I'm on television.
Right.
And I don't want to fall asleep while I'm driving.
Correct.
Any other time, I feel is fair game for me to nod off.
Even in an all-staff meeting.
Yeah. So, you know, I've got to have my priorities straight to when I have my eyes open and when I don't have my eyes open. All right. Joining us right now here on Ben and Woods, he's been our playoff analyst. Instead of in studio, he's on the phone, but that's fine. We got Brett Boone here to talk a little baseball with us on 97.3 The Fan. Brett, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
Good.
I'm doing well.
He's in Idaho. You're in Idaho, right?
Yeah, at a little retreat.
He loves potatoes. That's why he's up there. Baked, yeah. Mashed, French fries. Got them all. So if you were playing in a series like this American League Championship Series, Brett, a rainout, I mean, what does that do to you? Just to have to put everything on hold for a day, you know, ramp it down, ramp it back up. How does it affect a series like this?
Well, it depends who you are. You know, I was sitting here, I was thinking about it yesterday. I was reading something and it said, well, this could be an advantage for Houston. And I thought, I think it's more of an advantage for the Yankees. I think, you know, the Yankees is you know, they're basing their postseason pretty much on beating you up with their bullpen. And that rainout gives them a chance to kind of, you know, grab their, take a breath and get that bullpen rested a little bit. But I think the main thing is it allowed Tanaka to come back tonight on his normal 4 days rest.
Yep.
And he's been their best pitcher in the postseason. So I look at it as nothing but a positive for the Yankees. I don't see how it changes Houston's strategy either way. You've still got Verlander and Cole sitting in game 6 and 7 if it gets that far in the series. So they're already set. But I think for the Yankees, I think slight advantage yesterday by having the rainout.
We were talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, there's always a lot every postseason. And it's not just with the Yankees as they're concerned, or the Astros even. The sign stealing thing. And I wondered what the line was for you. When you were a player.
I have no line.
You have no line. There you go. How do you feel? Because the way I said it is this. Look, you want to tip location. You want to tip, you know, whatever. You think you got a tell on a pitcher. He's tipping a pitch fine. That's all fine and good. The way I looked at it is, if there's technology involved, how do you feel about that? Are you legitimately pissed off if you find out, you know, oh, they got cameras and they're looking into our dugout and they're, you know, I mean, they all cover their mouths now because they're afraid of lip readers. The paranoia is a real thing. I just wondered for you, do you have any stories about picking up a tell or a sign here or there? And B, how do you feel about it?
Well, I think, you know, stealing somebody's signs, it's fair game. That's the way our game is handled. And the problem, if you get caught, you're going to get hit in the neck. And that's the way we handle things.
Yes.
And that's honest. And I'll tell you, I wasn't very good at it, to be honest. That wasn't my game. But, man, I played with a lot of players that were really astute in that, you know, at doing that. And if certain guys came to me in the dugout and said, Booney, I got the signs. Do you want them? And it were certain guys that I trusted. Heck, yeah, I want them.
Yeah.
You know, because it's going to be an RBI situation. And of course I want the signs if I know you're right. Now, certain guys to me, I think I got the signs. I'm like, that's all right. I'll do it on my own. Because the last thing you want to do in that situation is be crossed up as a hitter.
I can't even imagine if you think a curveball is coming and it says it's a 99-mile-an-hour fastball.
Right. And that's why I said, you know, you find out who the real sign stealers are and you go with those guys. You know, if they would tell me what it was, man, I'd be out at second base. And I didn't give signs that much, but because I was, like you said, I like your word, paranoid. I was so paranoid about messing up my teammate that I had to be like 102% that I had him. But if I had him, I'd relay him.
All right,
and I was just kind of awkward at it. I was just bad at it. But,
you couldn't be subtle about it at all?
That being said, as a defender, as a second baseman, I was constantly looking for that.
Yeah.
And to see if I could find, you know, and I don't want to accuse somebody unless I know, but if I caught you, I'd kind of wander over to second base and have a little chat with you. And I said, you're stealing signs, and if you keep doing it, you know, and I told him what I just told you, you're going to get hit in the neck here in a minute, and it's going to be bad.
I love
and
that
that's the way
so
it is.
Much.
And, you know, if my team was caught stealing signs, and it was obvious, and I took one in the ribs, that's part of the game. I've got to kind of tip my cap and go to first, say you caught us, but vice versa. You know, it's an eye for an eye out there. As far as the technology, I know we were involved in any technology on the teams I played for. I don't really suspect the other teams of doing it. In today's day and age, with all the stuff out there and the gadgets and how easy the access is to that high-tech stuff, maybe it's happening. I have no idea. I mean, that'd be more of an in-house thing where the current players in-house would know if something's going on, and they would never let you know in a million years. You know, that'd be really, held really, really close to the best.
Or who was the best? Who was the guy that you could trust? If he came to you, you know, was it a Raul Ibanez or something? You're like, man, that guy, he's dialed in. He says fastball. I'm thinking fastball.
Wasn't Raul. No. Should I even reveal?
Yeah.
The best I ever had was Mark McLemore. He was great.
Oh, that's awesome. I love McLemore. That's so great.
And I trusted him because he not only played with me, but he played before I was there. He played with my dad. So I said, you know, this guy's going to give me the right signs. Yeah, Mac was probably the best.
Awesome.
But there were a lot along the way. You know, it depends. I went team to team, and certain teams had four or five guys that were really out there doing it. You know, I encourage it. In the minor leagues, when I was teaching these young players, I said, you get every edge you can. If you can peek in and get a sign, get a sign. If you're out at second base, it'll also teach you as a young player, you know, sequences, and it keeps your mind in the game. It keeps you focused. And not necessarily if you're at second base, maybe some days, you know, in certain batteries and certain catchers were so good and intricate with their signs, it was pretty much impossible to steal them.
Yeah.
But when the other side gets lazy and they just kind of go to a basic, you know, a basic equation on how to give in the signs, the good guys and the guys who are up on those things. And next thing you know, you get a pitch here and there. That might be the difference in a run.
Sure.
The key to the whole thing is, hey, I'm all for it, but don't get caught.
Booney, you mentioned your dad, executive with the Washington Nationals, one series away from potentially winning a ring here. What do you think of this layoff? How do they handle it? You got a week now between the end of the National League Championship Series, Game 1 of the World Series. The pitchers are all so locked in. You know, the players, they got to be kind of, I mean, stewing. Or is the rest a good thing? What's your take on that?
Well, once again, I think you got to break each team down on who is well served by the rest. I think the Nationals going into this postseason, you know, and I think we talked about it at the beginning of the postseason, is everything's got to go good for the Nationals because their whole game is based on their starting pitching. And, you know, it seemed early when Scherzer's coming out of the bullpen, it's like, wow, this could be a taxing series on these starting pitchers' arms. I think by them getting it over with quick, they can give all their starting pitching full rest. So they're fresh. They have their postseason starters set up. Because it comes down to the Nationals is, you know, whereas other teams have the luxury, Houston or especially the Yankees, is their big strength is their bullpen. Nationals not. You know, they expect Strasburg to take the mound. Scherzer. Now, Sanchez doing an unbelievable job. Corbin. They expect when their starter takes the mound, need to get 6 or 7
yep.
out of their starter to have a chance of winning each and every series. So I think this is really beneficial to the Nationals. Man, what a story. What a story. And they're hot right now. That's a dangerous team. You know, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. They were dangerous. They're really dangerous.
Well, that's the thing, too, Booney, and you as a hitter. I mean, if you're hot, if you're Howie Kendrick right now, or you're Trey Turner,
wow,
you don't want 5 days off, right? Like, you're like, oh, come on.
I agree with that. But you got to take the good with the bad. Is it more important that, you know,
it's more important their pitchers are locked in for sure.
Or is it more important that I get Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, and Sanchez exactly perfect with that rest they need?
Yeah.
So it's a catch 22. You pick.
That's a good point.
Well, as a hitter, no, I want to keep going. When I'm that hot, I want a game tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But I think they'll be fine. They've been unbelievable.
They've been so much fun to watch.
Rendon, you know, he's an MVP candidate yep. this year, but that whole they're really clicking right now.
They are. We're talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods, talking a little playoffs. So I watched the game, obviously the Yankees Astros the other day, and it seemed to me that the Yanks did have a chance. I mean, Gerrit Cole looked the most human that he'd looked all postseason, and really since May. I mean, 5 walks for him. You know, your brother's team, they were working some counts, just couldn't deliver that knockout blow. What do you expect? First of all, have you talked to Aaron after that game?
Yeah.
I missed it.
And kind of on purpose for this postseason.
Yeah, just letting him
know. Other than a text here and there, just wishing him well. You know, obviously, I'm pulling for him. At the same time, he's so busy right now and doing a lot of things. He's got mom and dad back with him in New York, and he's got a lot on his plate. So, I don't want to call and break down strategy with him in
sure.
the middle of the series. I think he's doing fine by himself and with his staff. So I haven't talked to him much about anything thus far, in the postseason. I think the other, it's so interesting now that I'm really paying attention and into it. They win game one. In Houston, and I start thinking about the series. I'm going, wow, game two is a big game.
Yep.
Because you got to face Cole twice. Now they lose game two. It's 1-1. Okay, we're fine. Now you lose game three against Cole. Now game four becomes so important. Just how the series flows. I think with Gerrit Cole, and I think if you look back to his last 20 starts, the guy's been unbelievable.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And he's the best pitcher on the planet right now.
Yep.
And in 6 months from now, talk to me, I might have a different opinion. But right now, this is the guy. And I think you're accurate in saying that he was somewhat human the other day. And they had some opportunities early in the game, but it just seemed as the game went on, he got stronger and stronger. And I'm looking at him in the seventh inning, and he's just throwing corner. I'm going, this isn't normal.
No.
You know, you're looking to wear him down. I was looking third and fourth inning because the Yankees had a couple bases loaded situations. And I was with some buddies that I'm up here in Idaho with, and they're kind of casual baseball fans. They're like, what needs to happen here? I said, well, this is good because they need to, wear Gerrit Cole down and get him out of the game as soon as they can,
from
a pitch count standpoint.
Yeah.
And man, it seemed, he's sitting there at 110 pitches and he was stronger than he was after pitch five. And I'm going, this is kind of an avatar type situation where this isn't supposed to happen with pitchers. Usually you don't get stronger going into the eighth inning, but he's been awful impressive. And I still think if it comes down to, looking out to game 6-7, where it looks like it would be a Verlander Cole, if any lineup out there is capable of getting them, it's the Yankees, but it's still, it's a big task.
That is such great stuff. And I was just going to ask you, too, about, one of the things your brother's known for managing the Yankees, and I think that's why they love him, but he defends his players. And like Gary Sanchez right now, he looks lost at the plate. He just does. And he said, no, I'm rolling with Gary Sanchez. How important is that for a player like Gary to hear that from his manager? Does that put his mind at ease, or does that give even more pressure on him to go out? And what's happening with Gary Sanchez? He's such a good hitter, but he looks like he's never played before.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. We got you.
Okay, I just lost his temporarily. I'll tell you, I've been where Gary Sanchez is. It's not a fun place to be.
Yeah.
And that happens, and especially when you're going through it and you got Gerrit Cole on the mound. That's gonna add to it. It's, okay, not only am I not seeing the ball, not only do I feel horrible in the box, but I've got this guy that I've got to face throwing 92-mile-an-hour sliders and locate. coming from a skipper, just my experience through my career, when a skipper came to me and kind of gave me that look like, hey, man, I'm with you, everything's all right, that to me was awesome. Because I just thought, you know, he understands. He's been there. He's with me. That's going to help me. If I have a chance of coming out of this, skipper having my back is going to add to that chance,
awesome.
Not detract. It's not going to add any more pressure. I think Aaron's really good at that. You know, I think he's done a great job in so many aspects of this year's team and the Yankees. But he's a player's guy. Players like playing for Aaron. You know, he's very respectful of them. He's got their back. He's letting them know what's happening. You know, a lot, not enough is made of that. The managers I played for that, you know, when I was going to have a day off on Thursday would come to me Tuesday and say, hey, Booney, I'm going to give you a day off Thursday. You know, they didn't know then, but how much I appreciate something like that. It gives me 24 hours to calm down because I'm pissed that I'm getting a day off on Thursday. But I'm prepared, you know, and I sleep that night and I wake up and I say, hey, I have a day off today. And I go to the ballpark and my mind's ready and I'm, you know, I got some things I'm going to work on. When you get to the ballpark and your name's just lined up, man, it's just, you know, for me, that really threw me for a loop. Like, what is going on here? So I think players really appreciate stuff, the little details like that. Aaron, I think, is really good at it. I haven't been down to the clubhouse with him, so I don't know how good he is at it. But I think he's really respectful and goes out of his way to, you know. And it's whether you're a starter, you play every day, or you're a bench player. You know, a guy that plays a couple times a week. Those guys too, they appreciate it when they know if they've been sitting there 3 days, they're going to get a start tomorrow. They prepare mentally. They go home. They sleep it. They sleep that night knowing, hey, I'm in there tomorrow, and the mindset is different.
Yep.
So I think those are the little things that really I know players appreciate, but I think it's important in how the team goes forward and that chemistry in that clubhouse and that and just that aura.
Well, speaking of managers, by the time you get back, we may have a new Padres manager to discuss.
I'm hearing that. I'm hearing that.
We will look.
What do we know? What do we know?
We don't know anything.
We hear
we
it's
know
down
nothing.
To two: Ron Washington and Jace Tingler. It's and they couldn't be any more different. A 67-year-old former manager to the World Series and a 38-year-old who's barely had much experience coaching in the big leagues. I don't know how those end up in your last two.
I know Ronnie a little bit. You know, I played against him for a lot of years. You know, on the other side, and I hear nothing but good things. You know, as players, we usually don't hear anything except for what's it like to play for him from the other guys on the field.
Yeah.
And there's certain guys that, you know, don't have that great of a reputation as a player's manager, and there's certain guys that do. The guys I've talked to love playing for Ronnie.
That's what we're hearing.
All across the board,
I've heard nothing but good things. And like I said, I've never played for him. He's never been a coach on one of my teams. But from a word-of-mouth thing on the field, I've heard nothing but positive things about Ronnie.
All right, Booney. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the rest of your trip.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Brett
Thanks.
Boone, our playoff analyst. And good stuff. He'll have some thoughts when the Padres do hire a manager. That went a little longer than usual. I want to talk more about the finalists to be the skipper and give our listeners a chance to sound off. 833-288-0973. We'll come back quickly. There's just one story I wanted to bring up. Something that I do every single day is actually costing an ESPN personality big time. And now I'm nervous about what I do. So
does he fall asleep in meetings?
No, it's not fall asleep in meetings. I don't do that every day.
All right.
Just do that once in a while.
Right.
So I have that coming up next after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan with Sue DeVincent. Thanks again to Brett Boone. Good stuff from Booney today.
Really good.
Getting ready. Game 4 of the ELCS. Cross your fingers. Finally get to play that tonight at Yankee Stadium.
Lucky us.
Want to get into the Padres manager finalist and what you think about it out there, Padres fans. We're the home of the Padres, San Diego's number one sports station. Give us a call, 833-288-0973. You're going to kind of run with your thoughts probably here until the end of the show at 9 o'clock when Jim Rome takes over. But I just wanted to get to this story quickly. Saw it earlier in the week, hadn't brought it up. Part of the fallout from the whole Daryl Morey China situation in the NBA. It's had a lot of secondary damage, shrapnel hitting everyone. One of them is ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, who has a show on in China called Woj in the House, because they're big NBA fans. He has this insider show. I'm sure he gets paid gobs of money to do it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, Woj just liked the tweet by Daryl Morey. He didn't send out any tweets of his own. He just liked the Hong Kong tweet that started this whole thing. And, like, the Chinese, they have canceled his show. They're not
for liking the tweet.
For just liking the tweet. And this got me worried, because when I prepare for this show, one of the things I do is I look for stories and tweet interesting things on Twitter that I want to talk about. And to save them, an easy way to do it is just like it.
Correct.
Now, it does not mean that I like the tweet. It just means that I want to be able to refer to it later. I may be criticizing the tweet on the show, but in real life, I like it, so it goes into my likes, and I can easily find it again later.
I got it.
So what do I do?
I have to do that as well. But then you start finding yourself liking things about, domestic violence,
right,
or rape,
and other people
or something
see,
else.
Like, you're tweets like, that you like.
Oh, look at Ben Higgins. Yeah. Just all in favor of domestic violence and sexual assault. And what you want to do then, Ben, you want to bookmark them. Okay?
So
it's one little extra step.
All right.
Here's the other thing that I will do from time to time. Now, let's say, do you usually do this on your phone?
I'm assuming.
So just go to that little arrow and send it to your own voicemail. So
text
then you
yourself.
Have it. So if you look at mine right now, if you pull up my voicemail tweet, I've got four or five articles in there that I wanted to make sure I didn't forget to discuss.
So stop liking controversial tweets and start sending them to yourself via your own voicemail.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because again, if somebody wants to be a jerk, they can go to your profile. Like, I can go to your profile.
What if I wrote
right
on my
now,
profile that
likes do not equal
endorsements?
Doesn't that
absolve you from all responsibility of everything in life?
I don't think so.
Retweets think so. Do not mean endorsements. Opinions are my own. You can't sue me now.
I'm trying to see maybe something that Ben liked.
Because I don't
write
that on mine.
I'm looking for something.
I don't know. I'm sure there are some things back there that I wouldn't want to be liked.
You like a tweet that just says, Legadu Nani.
There you go. That's damning right there.
All right. I think you're in good shape.
I think I liked Legadu, but maybe I don't like Legadu now.
I don't know what. You don't like a whole lot of. Nobody's really going to come after you.
I know it's happened in the past.
But yeah, that is crazy to think that he lost his show for that.
Because he could have liked it to later talk about it and say,
I hate this.
Is a huge NBA story. But I guess, you don't get a second chance in China. All right. 833-288-0973. Ron Washington, does anyone want to make the case for Jace? Jace Tingler is manager of the Padres. I would love to hear it.
I've seen a few.
I mean, you want to go with the younger, the guy who's up and coming rather than the guy who's, getting near the end of his career, guy who's more analytics-minded as opposed to the guy who likes to manage with his gut. I think there is an argument to be had there. There's the Bruce Bochy wild card. I've got thoughts on what that actually means. And no, it's not that Bruce Bochy is going to be manager of the Padres. We'll get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Woods had some breaking news from the world of entertainment. Sad news. We'll get to that right after we check traffic here one more time this morning on 97.3 The Fan with Suda Vincent.
Well, guys, we still have a few problem spots out there. This report brought to you by your San Diego County Mercedes-Benz dealers. Heading into downtown on West 94, watch for a fender bender east of 25th. It's involving a city vehicle and bumper-to-bumper from the 805. South 15, watch for a stalled SUV. It's got the number 3 lane blocked at the Carmel Mountain ramp. And still a lot of water in the right lane of West 56 west of Carmel Valley Road. A lot of traffic, too. It's heavy from Camino del Sur. The new 2020 Mercedes-Benz GLC SUV. Equipped with a highly intelligent Mercedes-Benz user experience and a sleek, sporty exterior, it's the total package of connectivity and capability. Visit MBUSA.com or your San Diego County Mercedes-Benz dealers to schedule your test drive today. Suda Vincent with Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
I feel like I need to hold you to this now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just back out now.
What?
Good. A little Wikipedia action.
What are you
talking
about?
Saved you from a potentially embarrassing mistake.
I already tweeted it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, too late then.
I deleted it.
Well, he is dead.
Who? I don't even know what you're talking about. God.
Woodsy sitting here, and you said to me,
BBC 20 minutes ago.
Bummer, you said to me, oh, Roger Moore died.
Mother.
And what did I say first? What is the first thing I said?
Are you sure?
Are you sure he didn't die like a few years ago, or this is a real tweet, not a fake, not something old? So, yes, I teased it, and then I looked up on Wikipedia, died May 23rd, 2017. 2.5 years ago.
Here's the deal. Today would have been his 92nd birthday. It doesn't matter.
Two days ago would have been his 97th birth. 97! Not even an even number. I was so set to be like, oh, who's your favorite James Bond? Is it Sean Connery like everyone else? Or do you have another opinion?
He's already dead.
He's been dead for 2.5 years.
Wow, I just really felt like remembering him today.
Is it weird that I think of Roger Moore more as my James Bond than Sean Connery?
He was absolutely our James Bond. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, Sean Connery's like, whatever. Sean Connery's the old guy from, you know, The Untouchables. He was not my Bond. Roger Moore was my Bond, and he was so much my Bond that I had no idea he's been dead for 2 years.
Sean Connery was the Russian captain for me in The Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a good one. But yeah, Moore was my Bond. Those were the Bond movies when I was a kid.
My buddy Tyler
growing up
texted me. I deleted the tweet. He said he died like 2 years ago. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. So very sad news out of Hollywood.
Pierce Brosnan, Daniel Craig.
2 years ago. Pierce Brosnan, I always thought it was amazing.
Timothy Dalton.
Terrible.
Yeah, that one wasn't great.
Didn't get me. Didn't move the needle for me. Who's the worst one, though? George Lazenby.
Just had the one movie. On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yep. George Lazenby. One and done. So, yeah, rest in peace again. Roger Moore. Bond, I can't believe I fell for that. Idiot.
Tried to save you. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, already
tweeted it. Last few minutes here. I want to get back to the discussion. Padres apparently down to their final two managerial candidates. Now, I haven't heard that. You know, I've got my own sources as well. This was a report in the Union Tribune yesterday.
You're my source, so
I'm not saying it's wrong. There was some wiggle room in the report. They said the Padres are down to their final two. Jace Tingler, who returned for another interview yesterday, which we had heard because he left the team he was managing in the Dominican Republic. And he was gone, obviously. It aroused suspicion. Yes, he was back in San Diego yesterday for a second interview, which included Ron Fowler and Peter Seidler, ownership. You know, you get to meet the big bosses when you come back for the callback. And then Ron Washington, apparently the other candidate. It's still not known when his second interview is going to, or, you know, perhaps secretly already did take place, but probably here soon. You know, his season just ended with the Atlanta Braves, where he's the third base coach, a few days ago. But they also said those are the last two candidates for now. If for some reason, you know, they don't hire either of them, well, they'd go back and hire someone else, which, of course, I mean, they're gonna hire a manager. But it looks like right now that it's going to be one or the other.
Right. As for now, that's what we know.
That's what we know.
But here's the deal. Joe Espada, the Astros are still in it, is a name that's been mentioned amongst a few teams. I'm not in it. Like, I want it done just because I'm tired of talking about it, and then we can move on. But I also don't know how smart it is. If you have candidates that you're interested in that are currently coaching, whether it's a Joe Espada, whether it's a Josh Bard, whatever, why wouldn't you wait? Why wouldn't you wait a week or two to be able to interview them? They had that secretive interview with the Nationals guy, apparently, Don Henley. And I just don't know, Bob Henley, I just don't know why you would. If there are other people you want to talk to, and who knows, maybe they don't. Nobody knows anything. Nobody's sources know anything at all.
You see this a lot. Like football, you know, you always want to hire the offensive coordinator of the hot Super Bowl team,
right?
But no one wants to wait until after the Super Bowl to actually hire their coach. They want someone in place, and they want to start working on the offseason.
You don't want to lose them to somebody else
and,
either.
And I think the Padres are of the mind that they really would like to get going. It's a big offseason. You know, they've got to make plans. They want the manager to be part of those plans. So they want to get someone in place. Now, I don't know how serious any of those remaining, like Joe Espada types that are still managing or still coaching are for the Padres right now. If you really like someone, yeah, you have to wait. You have to wait until they're available. If you don't, well, you know, it's probably good to get this done as soon as you can. and start the real work, which is putting a roster together for the 2020 season. And you can't do that, you know, just not telling who your new manager is. That's gonna at least shape somewhat how you put together the roster. You want input. Hey, I know this guy. I know how to use this guy. I would pick this guy over the other guy. A good GM is going to take his manager's opinions and preferences into account when they're making moves in the offseason.
Of course. Of course. And I look, it wouldn't surprise me if it's one of these guys or if it's both. Or if there's a dark horse candidate we don't know about. I can't imagine everything has been leaked to the press. And when I say both, I'm talking about the rumor that we brought up earlier that Wash will be the manager and Tingler, which I'll never get used to saying, Tingles, will be the bench coach. Maybe the manager in training, the Brian Dutcher to Steve Fisher, if you will, seems to be a good bit here in San Diego. And if that's the case, I feel a lot more comfortable than if it's reversed.
There was also the rumor out of MLB.com that Bruce Bochy remains at least not a dark horse, but hasn't totally closed the door on managing again. And if he wanted to do so, he'd have a good deal of support within the Padres organization to get that job. I wouldn't go so far as to say the job is his if he wants it, but I would say if Bruce Bochy strongly came out and said, I want this job,
it's probably his.
I think it would probably be his.
Correct.
At this point. The fact that that hasn't happened and he hasn't done it yet tells me he doesn't want to come back.
Correct.
You know, I think this is more of a smokescreen to perhaps, you know, impact negotiations with a Ron Washington. You know, at least have it look like there's another candidate out there.
Oh, God, yeah.
I would love our agent to have like, hey, look, you've got no other options out there. You have to pay him whatever we tell you.
Right.
That's, you know, you have to have another candidate to at least negotiate against when you're trying to set a tone. And I don't think Ron Washington's going to break the bank. I mean, you know, he's not going to. What did Joe Maddon get?
Joe got 3 years between 12 and 15, so between
$4 and $5 million a year. Ron Washington's not going to get that, right?
Half that at most.
So yeah, we're thinking probably like a $2 million candidate per year for Ron Washington. I mean, that's just a number I'm throwing out.
I haven't heard anything. Yeah.
You know, that's not going to make a huge difference in the overall budget for the Padres. They can afford that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'd like it to get done, but I'd also, if there's somebody they really like and are interested in, yeah, wait. If you really want to talk to Joe Spada or whoever, wait.
Well, here's the thing. I haven't heard Ron Washington's name or Jace Tingler's name brought up on any of the other now six still teams that are still looking for a manager other than the Padres now that Joe Maddon's been hired.
And that to me.
Does that worry you?
No, it doesn't at all. That's not that uncommon. I think teams.
I mean, I haven't heard Will Venable's name brought up outside of the Cubs job.
Exactly.
You haven't heard
Loretta brought up outside of maybe here or there.
Yeah, the Giants have interviewed a couple of their own coaches that don't seem to be candidates anywhere else.
It all feeds, and everyone kind of has their general idea of what they're going to do, and I think it's probably pretty well known that, hey, this guy is a great fit for that organization. Maybe I can go sway him, but maybe I can't. Why waste my time when I have my eye on X? You know, I'm going to go get this guy. So I don't think that's that uncommon and doesn't worry me really in the slightest. The Padres have their target. Hopefully they hit the target that they want.
Now, Joe Girardi yesterday, I don't know if you saw this.
I did.
Joe Girardi was set to be the Team USA manager with things like Olympic qualifying coming up for the 2020 games in Tokyo next year. A team was going to get together in Arizona starting next week. They have their first tournament coming up in November. Now, it's not big league players. I don't know exactly who are the people on the roster. It's mostly minor leaguers, I think, that are...
Yeah, I think so.
That are involved. But he was going to be the manager. He stepped down from that job yesterday, and Scott Brosius, who was going to be his bench coach, is going to take over as the skipper for Team USA. There has to be something behind that move. Joe Girardi is about to be hired somewhere, right, as a manager.
I would guess the New York Mets are going to hire Joe Girardi. That would be my guess. But yeah, I was talking to Thomas, our producer, filling in for Paulie this morning, and he's like, well, does that mean anything? And I go, yeah, I think you don't quit that job unless you've got something lined up that's going to take up all your time, and certainly I don't think you can do both. So I would fully expect him to be named. That's been the name that's been most associated with the Mets is Joe Girardi.
You probably have warm feelings for Joe Girardi and Scott Brosius.
Oh, yeah.
See, I don't.
Well, as far as, yeah.
I'm a Padres fan.
Absolutely.
Scott Brosius in particular.
The devil.
Is, you know, one of the gut punches in my entire sports watching life.
How do you root against that guy?
I was at Game 3 of the 1988 World Series, sitting out in the outfield. Padres were trying to win one after dropping the first two. You know, first two, remember, very competitive games. I mean, you had the controversial, you know, didn't get the strike three on Tino Martinez from Mark Langston in Game 1, ended up hitting the grand slam, you know, changed the whole series possibly there in Game 1. Padres were in that series, and going into Game 3, which was the first game back at Qualcomm Stadium, you really thought, okay, they can get back into this thing. They've got a good shot. And they were winning the game in the eighth inning, and Bruce Bochy went to Trevor Hoffman in the eighth. Came out, Hell's Bells played. I mean, I've never been in a louder stadium than 68,000 people screaming for Trevor Hoffman coming in to lock down this win against the Yankees, get the Padres back into the World Series. And Scott Brosius,
of all people,
three-run homer to center. I couldn't even see it go over the wall from where I was sitting, but you knew
that's a shot.
It was gone.
That's
and just
a shot
take
too.
All the air out of. Then it's, you know, it's 3-0, and now you know you're done.
You're done.
I mean, it's just all the air from we're right back into this thing to we are done.
Yeah.
On that Scott Brosius home run,
of all people. Too. I mean, talk about a guy that, like, he. I think they got him from the A's for nothing. And he hit 218 or something with the A's. One of those guys, you think in Oakland, pressure's off a little bit more and go out and play baseball. You get to New York, pressure's ratcheted up. That guy rose to it, man, every time. He was a postseason god in New York. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, sorry.
So, and Girardi, was he, now, I don't know, he wasn't the backup on that team, was he?
I think so.
Posada, he was
the
backup
yep.
to Posada to that team. So, yeah, you know, not necessarily my favorite in the world.
Well, I'll put it this way. You guys, you know how I feel about Joe Girardi. He's a super nice guy and all that. I'm really happy he's going to be the Mets manager. My only other choice would have been Bobby Valentine.
So you didn't ever want to see him manage the Padres?
No, I did not. Ever. You guys know that. There's no way.
Despite, he has the ring.
Yeah.
Won a ring.
Sure.
Mike Socha won a ring. Didn't seem to be a candidate for the Padres either. I heard his name was on a list somewhere, but I don't remember an interview, certainly not a second interview for Mike Socha.
Yeah, I and Socha just...
So winning a World Series ring is certainly not the be-all, end-all to being a good manager.
I don't think so.
Managers can win World Series.
Yeah, Ned Yost, nobody's knocking down his door. You know, I'm sure a lot of teams have won World Series in spite of their managers. I feel like the Royals were one of them. Ned was a good manager, you know, but he did make some questionable decisions.
Good guy, too.
Really good dude. Had you scratching your head a little bit, but no, it's certainly not a prerequisite. If it were, we wouldn't be looking at Ron Washington and Jay Stengler. Ron did go to the World Series twice. But, you know, for me, Joe G, with this young team, he had some issues, man. He did. He had some issues with some younger players in New York. I don't think that's really any secret, you know. And I just, the thought of him and Tatis, the thought of him and Machado gave me heartburn. Really, it really did. I think Wash is a perfect, perfect demeanor to handle guys like that.
Yeah, I know that I've been one of the, you know, you can't really hire Jay Stengler without getting crushed.
Yeah.
Guys in this town, voices in this town, you agree with me as well. I know you do.
You can't.
But I also acknowledge, you know, Jay Stengler could end up being a phenomenal manager in Major League Baseball. Could be just the right guy for the Padres. You just have to know going in. If you hire him, I'm just looking at my tweets. I'm looking at my mentions. I'm looking at what people are saying when they call in to this show. It's going to be a rough go for the Padres if they hire Jay Stengler.
Yeah.
You're going to keep hearing same old Padres, you know, they say they want to win, but then they do something like this. And if you can handle that, you know, I know they've got a pretty thick skin.
They do.
Most of the people in that front office have got a pretty thick skin. You know, if you can handle that for a couple of months and Jay Stengler comes out and the Padres are sitting at the end of May and they're looking in good shape, you know, the people will come around to
Jay
Stengler.
Well, of course. I mean, and again, you leave us with no choice. I mean, you're going to have to... A manager hire would never make me go, you know what? That's it. I'm done. Now, there may be people in this town, Ben, that after 50 years are like, if you hire Jay Stengler, I don't care what, if this guy goes 150 and 12, I'm not watching. you know, but again.
Now, here's the problem, though. So the last time the Padres hired a manager, Andy Green, I had the same reaction. Who's Andy Green?
Yeah.
You know, who's this guy? And then the opening press conference, he kind of won me over.
Of
course.
It's
like, wow, this guy's really impressive. You can't win me over with a press conference this time. There's only really one thing you can win me over with. Wins is what it's going to take. Even Ron Washington's going to have to prove himself. I mean, Ron Washington, those World Series appearances are not going to give him some four-year pass.
No, God, no.
As the Padres manager. I mean, if Ron Washington's the guy, he's got to come in and win right away. Let's see this culture. Let's see this inspirational managing style that has players running through a wall for you. And I want to see it quick. You know, you don't get, you know, 3.5 years to build up what you want to do as manager now. You've got to get it done and get it done fast.
Yep.
If you're the new skipper.
There's no margin for error. And if that's the case, I want somebody with some experience. So that's just how I feel.
All right.
A lot of people feel differently. Yeah. Nobody called to actually defend him, but it's,
I asked for a Jace Tingler defender. Telling that we didn't get anyone calling
it. Sounds like a sexual apparatus.
A Jace Tingler
defender.
Is your partner trying to Jace Tingle you?
Well, get the Jace Tingler defender. It's amazing. You can have a lot of fun with that. I'm not going to lie. We could have a lot of fun with Jace Tingler over the next 6 months or so. But no, I hope that it's Wash. And if Tingler wants to, you know, if they want him to be a part of the organization, I believe they will find a spot for him as well.
Really good show today. If you missed any of it, go to our website, 973thefansd.com, on the Ben and Woods page. You'll find all of our interviews. And I can't stress enough, keep an eye on the radio.com app. You should already have it downloaded, but new features are coming soon that are going to enhance your Ben and Woods experience. In particular, Woodsy, I think there's a segment of our audience that are really going to enjoy the ability to hold our feet to the fire based on what we're going to have on radio.com.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We brought it up in the meeting yesterday. Like, we want to do this.
You're going to enjoy it more than we're going to enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Let's just say that.
Absolutely.
So tomorrow, I know we've got Colin Wilson from the Action Network, who's always fantastic. Without Paul Reindel out sick here, I don't really have a plan as much as I usually do. So we're working on things. We'll tweet out what we've got going later today. But we will come back. Friday edition of Ben and Woods. Ben reads raps. The whole bit coming up tomorrow at 5 a.m. That'll do it for us. Thanks to The Hammer, our assistant producer. Thomas Andrews doing a great job filling in for Paul this week. For Woodsy, I'm Ben. Jim Rome Show is coming up next. Thanks for joining us here on Ben and Woods, right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.